insurance, the 401ks, you know, my mentor, my advisor, he's a financial advisor. So I do everything, all life insurance, all health insurance, all dental indemnity. I have all that, you know, group insurance, you name it, have it all.
Yeah.
Business funding, when we sit down with the entrepreneurs, have access to it. Teaching you how to build business credit, got that. Restoring personal credit, got that. Like, I'm a literally, when I say I'm a walking institution, I'm a walking institution. So these are the projects, and I got other things I'm working on that it's like when some of my investors look at the business plan, they just scratch their head like, yo, this is going to be the move right here.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it. You know, I had years where I jump out there first and talk about what I'm doing,
yeah.
You know, and necessarily it wasn't done yet, but I knew it was going to get done because I thought the people with me was going to ride out, but realized that they don't really want to ride out. Like, that shit sound good.
Yeah.
So I had to scale back. So that's the reason why I keep saying, you know, I got these projects I'm working on, but no, it's coming to fruition right now.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Out of all the guests that we had on the show, what guest say to you to motivate you to go ahead and take the steps and put that into place?
Well, I already had stuff moving. It wasn't a particular guest of the show that said something on the show, but having access to Lee Mallette.
Yeah.
When he took me to breakfast and we sat for like 2.5 hours just listening to him,
mm-hmm.
and the things he has going on and how he was able to recorrect my path, tell me where I was seeing certain things wrong, how I was looking at certain individuals wrong, how I need to stay clear, how what I got going is keep it moving. That was a pivotal breakfast for me. That shifted me. Like, that really took me to a different level. I released so much heaviness that I had for how my name was going around in the city, this, that, and the third, because of that breakfast. So just having breakfast with Lee Mallette, man, just really brought, he was like the visine to my vision. My vision was blurred. He cleared it up.
When he was on the show, he dropped a lot of...
Ooh, and then coming to the show, he really, you know, the breakfast was before the show, before the guests.
And the town hall.
And yeah. So just having a person like him, having access to a person like him, knowing I could call him, text him any time of the day, and he really will... You know, I tested him out. Man, it was like 11:38 at night. Shot him something. He shot it right back. I said, okay, he's serious.
Yeah.
You know, so Lee Mallette, man, he's been a blessing, you know, to me. And a lot of the things I got going on is because of how he, you know, shifted my perspective.
That's
so awesome. Much gratitude to him.
I think for me, a lot of my perspective shifted when we had... Makisha,
I knew you were going to say it.
Because that was one of the most...
That was a dynamic show.
That was a very dynamic show. Mm-hmm. And she said a lot of very powerful stuff that when I left, like I literally went in. Like I had already been, you know, soul searching, trying to figure out like what type of entrepreneur am I? How serious am I? Which meant that I had to like let go of some of the things that I was working on so that I can get really, really focused on my goal of helping small businesses mm-hmm. in Nashville and just paying attention to how small businesses were struggling, how consumers were struggling, trying to figure out which businesses were open. And here I was missing this whole conversation that wasn't happening between the two consumer groups that it should be happening with.
Right.
I was missing that because I was doing so many other things. And so like after that conversation, I decided to cut a lot of stuff, even cutting my time on social media. Like I cut that. Like when I saw my screen time go from like 9 hours a day down to like 4 and 5 hours a day. And then I realized that I was getting My mind was much clearer. Mm-hmm. I was getting more things done, and I was thinking more strategically. And because I was able to take that time and
add five more hours to your day,
man, and it allowed me to put my thoughts into to write them down and to put them into a more strategic plan. Then I started working that plan from that way, and that when at doing that, that's what allowed us to actually increase productivity with the team, because then I was able to notice, you know, where people were coming up with saying, oh, I didn't get that done because XYZ. I didn't get this done because, and so I was able to see that when I wasn't seeing it before. So like that was my most pivotal. I can't talk right. That was my most pivotal. I think it's the overbite.
She capping on herself, yeah. No, hey, I would definitely say she definitely top three.
Yeah.
Definitely top three. I also like Don on the relationship coach.
Yes, the conflict manager.
I like
he
her.
He was not a relationship coach.
Well, I mean, I was thinking relationship, but you're a conflict. Yeah, she's
you know
dope.
That, you know, if you associate conflict with relationship, that is a hidden message for you.
Probably. I need to sit down and review some of my relationships I'm a part of. You know.
Oh, my God.
Address the conflicts.
Okay. Yeah, she was a conflict management. And, yes, she was very dope. And that's why we kept calling her back. It was like, we need you on the town.
Yeah, we need her on the town. She dope. And I want us to get back to doing that as well. When we have some time because those townhouses were very impactful.
Yeah,
you know, it's people still talking about it today. I met a person. He's in one of my health groups. Reached out to me. Was like, yo, that show right there. What happened? Why y'all not doing enough of them? I was like, oh, we all got a little bit busy.
Yeah,
you know, I said like that. Yeah. We don't want to do it. Me and this young lady has, you know. We got projects we're working on.
Yeah. I think we do need to do it like maybe once a month.
Maybe once a quarter.
I do think that there once a month would be
once a month
good.
Be fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I also think that there are conversations that we need to have and where it's just, you know, where we can be very a safe space where we can be very transparent and talk about things that we see amongst our people. Because I feel like we can't candy coat anymore, and sometimes we have to like really watch what we say on social media because you don't want somebody who don't really understand what you're trying to say to be taken the wrong way.
Well, you know,
or used against our race when what we're really trying to do is
I think because of our current POTUS that I think he's allowed the platform to really speak your mind. You have to speak your mind. We can't hide behind traditional thinking. I mean, we can have traditional strategy, but traditional thinking, going about things and mincing our words, this ain't the time to do it.
Well, anytime you say something to the Black community about the Black community, that you risk the chance of the Black community saying you shouldn't have said that out loud. You know, you shouldn't have said that where other people could see it. Like, you don't talk about...
Well, I mean, it's just time for the Black community to look in the mirror.
Well, like, it's like putting your family business out, right? Like,
the whole world know about our family business. Like, let's quit pretending that some of our culture is toxic. Let's stop pretending that
we are still mentally enslaved.
We've tried it, and we're still in the same position. The thing with the Black community, I think we tried the Black community way. You know, if you speak too nice, they still don't move. If you enable them, they still don't move. If you talk crazy to them, they still don't move. Like, what is it that the Black community wants? How do they want to be communicated to? Because I was thinking, we was talking about 45, right? And one of the things about 45, hate him, love him, whatever the case may be, he understands the importance of empowering his base to move. For some odd reason, regardless of whatever leaders we have within our community, we're not empowering our base to move. We're still sheeple. We're still waiting on a Messiah. We're still waiting for that one person to come up and tell us what to do. No other race is waiting on that except us.
I don't think that's true. I think that's a more individual type thing.
Okay.
I do, because you can't say that there are no other people in a different race who aren't waiting, who don't sit around and wait for somebody to tell them that they can, you know, build business or build wealth. There are people who are, you know, still doing that because they don't believe, they have money issues, they have limited beliefs. Some of them have, you know, been rooted and indoctrinated with dogma and been told that money is the root of all evil, and that's been taught across all races.
But there, how did the Hispanic race leapfrog us in home ownership, leapfrog us in net worth? How?
Do not forget that there is an entire system out there.
You know, I understand the system, but clearly the system.
I'm not saying it's just the system. I'm not saying it's just the system, and this is why I say that these type of conversations need to be had, one, in a small group. If you're going to make a change, you can't, like, literally try to go at the entire problem. You have
one bite at a time.
Yeah. So I still feel like these conversations need to be had in a small group. But there is an entire system that, and I was telling a friend of mine this morning, for some odd reason, it feels like this system's whole purpose and their only way of being able to continue to operate is if the black community is where it is. If the black community were to wake up, that system would be in danger of crumbling. So right now, if you look, and this is why I say 45 has served its purpose, because had 45 not been in office, then the majority of the black community would still feel safe. The majority of the black community would still feel like racism was no longer a thing or was still a small thing. Undercover races have been
exposed.
Mm-hmm. Unintentional racism has been exposed. You have people who didn't believe that racism was no longer a thing saying, man, I thought racism was gone. Man, I didn't know I was.
Well, those people are flat out delusional.
But wait, there were even black people saying that.
And those black folks were flat out delusional.
Right, but hold on, listen to what it doesn't matter whether they were delusional or not. What matters is that they are now awakened on that issue. There are other issues that, not aside from racism, there are other issues that 45 has brought to light too, like the whole thing with the small business, with the economy. Like, if you don't realize now how important small businesses are to your economy, to your life,
then you will never realize it.
You will never realize that. And so instead of taking your money and spending it with Walmart and spending it with Amazon, you need to be more conscious minded about spending your money with the small businesses in your local community, because if they die out, take a good look at what your life is going to be like, because small businesses pay local business tax. And without local business tax, then your local government cannot operate
the way it needs to operate.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And so there are, that's what I'm saying. So he has served his purpose in waking people up. But the thing is, don't fall back asleep because you feel safe. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I was in a group on Facebook, we had a healthy conversation about the debate about him not denouncing. I tell folks he don't have to denounce it. He don't have to denounce it. He understands his base. That just what it is. What it is. That's war. And if you understand war, you never give up your base. So I get it from that standpoint. Whether we agree with him or not, is just when you understand war, that's war. You know.
Let me ask you this: Can you know to prepare for war if you don't even know that you have an enemy in your camp?
Whose fault is that? It's like
No. Answer that question.
I am answering the question. It's 2020.
No.
How many things did we need to see before the George Floyds, before the Breonna Taylors, before...
You're going on something else.
Okay.
I'm not replying to that. I'm not debating you on what you said.
How are we not at war? How do we not know we're not at war?
We were... If your enemy, like, this is what I'm saying. If your enemy is befriending you, if your enemy is saying that everything that you need them to say and then doing something behind your back, will you know that you need to be ready to fight?
You a poor student of history. You a poor student of history if you don't understand the history of your oppressor. If you don't understand what Malcolm X said about white liberals, if this is things that you don't understand,
it's either yes or no. Can you know that? Will you know that you need to fight if you don't know that you're?
No, you wouldn't. But whose fault is that?
I'm not placing fault on
anybody. Okay, okay. So we're just saying no. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know at all.
Exactly. So that goes back to your point of you saying that you don't. It's like, who cares that he didn't denounce it? At least you know who he is, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
you know who he is, so you know to fight. You said,
"Let me
before.
Ask you this: what age range are, dude? Because I'm if you, if
I'm
you,
agreeing with you, Corey.
Oh, no, I'm about to say.
Yeah, let me make that clear.
Yeah, because I'm like, hold on.
Listen, you know who your enemy is.
Exactly.
If you don't know who they are, if they're telling you that I'm your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't know to fight. Then you go back to sleep.
You get lulled back to sleep.
And
exactly.
You feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
If you know who your enemy is, you stay on guard.
Right. So that's what I was saying. So even that. So we was in a group, and I just asked a simple question. I said, "So, at what point do you guys decide to exercise your Second Amendment right? Like, when are you going to exercise your Second Amendment right? Then, if you understand that we in a city where we know." These boys are out here, right?
Mm-hmm.
When do you exercise your right? Because you never know. You could be going up to a gas station. Anything may pop off. You know, these boys, they driving in Antioch, Murphy's. I'm seeing them with the Confederate flags on the pickup trucks, you know, and they out here. They very loud. When are you going to start exercising your Second Amendment right? And do you know how many people in the group still denounce getting their own gun? Still denounced protecting themselves, still kept saying that if it's God's will, and I just politely left the group. Because if you're still saying that, you are definitely asleep. And most of these people have some of the most, you know, they're very opinionated, but they don't want to protect themselves.
Maybe they're just afraid of the gun being in their house. Like, I don't know. And I try my best not to judge people for what they believe, and that's on them. And everybody vote your conscience. And that's what makes the difference. Vote your conscience. Don't try to force your thoughts or the way that you would fight on somebody else.
I just think people need to understand, like,
I get what you're saying,
like,
but everybody isn't a malicious spirit.
It's not about a malicious spirit. It's about self-preservation. That's the first rule of nature. Preserve. If you have a family that you would tell people that I would die for, like you hear us say, I die for mine. Well, we got someone that may blatantly decide to see you and play the role of God. Are you willing to protect yourself?
How do you, like, that doesn't, to them, that may not be getting a gun.
Okay.
It may be that they have enough faith that they can pray and God will protect them. So, like, you can't put the way that you see protection on somebody else.
I just look at my two eyes, and most folks can say what they want to say. My two eyes are showing something
that works for
totally
you.
Different. So I know that those are the type of people that I can't have conversation with,
and that's okay.
Right?
Okay.
And it's still,
and they may think the same thing about you.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah, and that's okay.
It used to be okay because I used to want to make sure everybody's straight, but it is okay.
Yeah,
I'm fine by it.
That going back to Makisha's session, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that on that day, and that was a day that I was able to sit back and realize that I don't have to agree with
everybody. Mm-hmm.
And everybody doesn't have to agree with me.
And that's okay.
Sometimes a lot of our stress comes from carrying that, right? We spend a lot of time on social media going back and forth with people who, at the end of the day, what do we get? a badge that says I told him off, and then we're carrying that the rest of the day, and then we're starting to feel pain in our shoulders, pain in our back,
because of stress,
headache. It's ridiculous. If you believe the way you believe, and I believe the way I believe, and that's okay.
Yeah, it's definitely okay. I just leave it at that. Maybe for the town hall, I won't leave it at that. But for the sake of the conversation,
the only thing that you're responsible for is doing your part and creating the change that you want to see in the world. You can't force your agenda or your plan on somebody else.
I'm definitely not gonna force my agenda. I've learned that is not the way of proving your agenda. You approve your agenda. Your agenda through actions, and your lifestyle emulates it.
And then you'll find your tribe.
You'll find your tribe.
People will come and say, Corey, I'm with you. And
that's,
you won't have
and
to convince
that's what I've done.
And argue,
I mean, and that's what 2020 really exposed. Mm-hmm. Like, I found the tribe that when that listened to us all the time, you know, that's talk about projects, you know, things of that nature. So I found the tribe, and it's a great, that's a safe space. Your tribe is your safe space.
Absolutely.
And everyone needs to have it.
Yeah, I got three, and they all have different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And I know which ones I can say, hey, this is what I'm dealing with right now. Like an investor said, sent me a calendar the other day. I was so nervous for this particular one.
Mm-hmm.
I was so nervous. I text my tribe and I said, such and such, just sent me a calendar invite for a meeting. I said, tell me why I haven't accepted it yet. And I didn't accept it until like midnight. But they kept texting me all day. Did you accept it yet? Go ahead and accept that. You earned this.
You need that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But I the fact that I was able to go to somebody and say, I am scared.
Right.
I am nervous for this. The fact that I had that tribe, and they were the ones to say, no, Erica, this is what you worked for. Go on ahead and accept it.
Yeah.
Right. And then I have another group of women who are ahead of me. Like, they've already hit the $1 million mark. And I can go into that chat and say, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. What can I do? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll text back, or they'll say, do we need a Zoom? Do we need an emergency meeting? Like,
one thing about a tribe, they think so abundantly.
Yeah.
They give very selfless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the dope thing about a tribe, that selflessness.
And they tend to find you. Yeah.
Or when you get on your path, you tend to find them.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, though. You know, since you said we got to wrap it up, what's your fourth quarter expectations? What's the expectations going into 2021?
For the world?
I mean, just entrepreneurs. You know, this is what this show is about, behind the scenes. You know, what should we be doing in the fourth quarter? Because everyone clearly didn't see 2020 coming, right?
Right.
And we, quote unquote, in the new normal. So what? So how do you attack going to build a momentum to 2021?
Okay. So if you are brick and mortar, if you deal with customer facing customers, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would say, number one, go ahead and create your strategy for 2021. And how are you in that strategy going to implement keeping customers safe from COVID? We're getting ready to go into the winter months. How are you going to communicate the way that you are following COVID guidelines to make sure that your customers are safe? And you need to implement that into your marketing strategy. Let them know that you have taken the measures going forward, that this would be a part of your policy going forward to lower their barrier of wanting to come out. If you are retail, restaurants, specialty stores, holidays are coming up. What is your strategy right now? Go ahead and start working on your strategy for the holidays. And you can implement hot offers in that strategy. Now, what are your strategies for the holidays? And go ahead and start working on that. And since the governor released the restrictions on
phase three, baby,
that kill it. Can make
go
your
hard,
customers,
go
yeah,
ham, yeah.
Yeah, make your customers feel comfortable. Let them know that you're going to protect their health, and go hard with the marketing and kill Q4.
My thing for entrepreneurs is this. back in 26, I say 17, man. And it's amazing how he's back in my life. My business coach was a hardcore business coach, and he was telling me about my marketing practices, and he said, Corey, you're going to give up too much market share. You're going to give up, and you're going to get lapped. So a lot of the things these entrepreneurs are finally getting wind to do in 2020, I had access to it 2016, 2017. I was dogmatic in my approach, and he was right. Mm-hmm. I saw myself losing market share. I'm going to tell you guys this. For those that's looking, listening, treat marketing like technology. It's always evolving. Mm-hmm. It's always changing. Do not market the same way. Embrace the new normal, or you're going to get lapped. But this go round is this. You may not get lapped. You might get completely shut out. The business, the mm-hmm. space.
It's that ain't no might.
That's no, you that, will. Okay, you will. Yeah. You will get shut out.
The days go of around. No marketing are over.
The days of old marketing,
yeah,
is over. You know, treat marketing like technology. It is forever changing. You have to stay ahead of the wave. And you have to honor the 5 P's, man. Like, what is the 6 P's? Proper preparation. I'm gonna put 6 P's in a W because I have to add this W. Proper preparation will prevent piss poor performance. It will. If you're not properly prepared, and I'm speaking from experience. I'm speaking from pain. I'm speaking from hurt. I'm speaking from tarnished reputation. I'm speaking from having 6 figures in a bank account to being homeless. I'm speaking truth. If you're not prepared, it's a wrap. So
yeah,
going to 2021 with your expectations and create your 2021. Don't let 2021 have you pivoting again.
I think don't carry the burden of 2020 into 2021.
Mm.
Definitely don't. I'm going to say this, and I know we have to go, but I was watching this show, and this lady was talking about how she bounced back. And she was talking about how when you're going through things, you constantly keep saying, man, this is happening to me, and this is happening to me, and this is happening to me. And when you're focused on those things, you don't see other opportunities that are around because you're constantly staring at this one door that won't open. And the reason you don't see the other opportunities is because you're standing in front of one door and you're telling that one story over and over again. You're
blocking your blessings, yeah.
You can't see them. They're like, it's not that you're blocking them. It could be a very much
story. Well, my teacher said, you're creating it.
Yeah, you can't see it.
Can't see it, yeah.
Yeah, because all you see is what is happening to you. So don't carry the burdens of 2020 into next year. We know it happened. It's, you know, a messed up thing that it happened. But we got to move forward and see the opportunities.
Yeah, because it's plentiful.
Yeah. All right. So,
put your fours up. Fourth quarter. It's time. Let's get to it. We got Mr. Class of 96, Dante Jones, one of the greatest class ever in the NBA, watching it. He understands the importance of putting the fours up.
I said, what's up?
Miss Erica said, what up, D. Jones?
We can get him on the show, too.
Oh, we can definitely get Dante. Dante, we need you on the show, bro. I know you would do it, man. So we need you on the show. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Peace out. Until next time, download the episode. When I post it, download the episode on iHeartRadio,
Apple,
and Google.
Were you drinking before you came here?
I don't drink.
Okay, no. Sounds like it. Hey, y'all, we out. All right. One.
All right.